And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like us to go to the Psalms today, this psalm selected as the theme for this worship service, recognizing the LWML and all of God's blessings upon this great mission arm. And it's Psalm 62, and we're looking at verses 1 through 8. And I would invite everyone to pull out your hymn books. And in the front of your hymnal, you'll find the Psalms. And I'd like us to read responsively from Psalm 62, verses 1 through 8. And so if you can find that psalm, front of your hymn book, 62, and the congregation will respond with the indented portion of the psalm. And so we read responsively, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?
Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence.
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take high pleasure in falsehood. For God alone, O my soul, will wait in silence.
For my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory.
My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. And the theme that we focus on this morning is the rest we share, the rest we share. You know, we live in a very turbulent world, obviously. That's not too hard to figure out in everyday life in which we live, and certainly in the communication realm in which we experience in our lifetime, and especially with social media, just all of the avenues that are out there today to communicate. And what it's created is we have instant news, we have instant interviews in the midst of events that are unfolding right before our eyes. Years ago, it may have been a day or two before we would even hear about some of these things that are going on. Some we may not hear at all. And it's kind of, there's a blessing in all of that, actually. And we think of it like in Hurricane Florence, with all of our communication, people that are in danger, they can follow the media on their phones and know if they're in immediate danger or not. If they are, they can be located very quickly. And so there's real pluses to social media. And yet there's a side of social media that I think has just raised the feelings of fear and anxiety and uncertainty among many who have a deep sense of insecurity, because daily we're just bombarded with all of the things that are going on around us. In fact, last week, as it's happening at the Denver Zoo, did you get that on your phone? You know, instantly a breaking news report, the zoo is being evacuated. And I'm kind of looking at that and wondering, well, wonder what's going on at the zoo. And then they were saying that people could be in imminent danger. And this is all being put out there before it's even being communicated of the details. They didn't even know, I think, of what was going on. And then I think it was about a day later I learned that somebody had threatened to crash an airplane into the zoo. And so they took that threat seriously. But those stories go instantly, not only all over our nation, but all over the world, and people are immediately aware of the dangers that surround them. And so it's important, as God's people, that we rest in God's gracious word that he provides for us. And we think of the beginning of this psalm, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." What a testimony, and especially in light of the times in which you and I are currently living. But you know, this goes back to the great King David of the Old Testament. David was the one inspired to write this psalm. And certainly when David wrote this psalm, it was in the context of David's life being threatened. And in the psalm, David even expresses what that threat was, that he was being attacked, that his kingship was being challenged. And it was a very, very serious situation for David. There were enemies that wanted to overthrow him. Now, we don't know for sure the specific incident, but it may have been even worse when David's own son, Absalom, attempted to overthrow his father on the throne. Remember that account? And it's recorded in Scripture that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So he was out there campaigning for his own kingship against his own father. And it was so serious that David had to flee from Jerusalem to go into hiding for a while. And apart from God's intervention, David's kingship probably would have been over, and maybe David's life would have even been taken. But David, by God's grace, was blessed to survive this incident. And it was by God's intervention. And certainly David expresses his faith in God in this psalm and acknowledges God as the one who rescued him. And so in Psalm 62, David certainly proclaims his strong faith. And also in this psalm, David clearly reveals where we alone can find rest and peace in our own turbulent lives that we go through. You know, another thing we hear instantaneously on the social media is if there's a school shooting, right? And here a few months ago down in Florida, there was a school shooting and it was all over the news. And you may remember a teacher by the name of Melissa Fulkowski, and she was the journalism and English teacher at the school, but very heroic. She took 19 of her students, packed them into a closet in her room, hoping that their lives would be spared. And you know, when you think about what Melissa did for her students, it really is a reflection of what God does for you and me as precious people, as we hear in Scripture that he hides us under the shadows of his wings. God protects us in a very similar way. At that same school shooting, there was an assistant football coach by the name of Aaron Feiss. And I think we have a picture of Aaron even for the screen. But a very brave man, as Aaron stepped in front of his students who were being shot at, and Aaron took the bullets on his own body to spare the lives of others, he literally gave his life for his students. And that was on an isolated event at Parkland High School in Florida. But then you think about, on the much larger scale, of how God is our eternal refuge. How our Lord Jesus Christ came for the purpose of going, making that journey to the cross, where Jesus would take all of the blows for our sinful nature, for all of our rebellion against God, and he would stand before us to protect us by taking all of God's wrath and punishment upon himself. He is the only one, he is the only place where we can go to truly find rest and know that we have been rescued and that our lives are secure. We have rest by the grace of God. And so through the living God, you receive rest through hearing his word. Many Sundays here, we receive the Lord's Supper, and the Lord offers to you rest, peace, in the midst of the meal that he provides to us. And yes, the world will rage, and it may even injure you and me physically or emotionally, but Jesus, who is the Lord over all, is our rock of protection. He is our salvation. And as we heard proclaimed in the scripture readings this morning, he's not going away, but he stands forever. He never changes. And so it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find this rest. Now, it's interesting. The Hebrew word is a very unique one that David uses in this psalm. But before we get to that, even the psalm is quite unique. Because in most of the psalms, as you read through them, they're prayers and petitions, right? If you don't know what to pray, just open to the book of Psalms and read these perfect prayers that God has inspired. But Psalm 62, there's no petitions expressed in the psalm, but it's really a confession, and it's an expression of strong faith and confidence living in a challenging world. And David expresses that as God inspires these words. And so there's not a prayer or a petition in this psalm, but there is a strong statement of faith and confidence. And in that, God provides to you and me comfort and encouragement. For instance, in verse 1 of this psalm, we read a moment ago, "From him comes my salvation." Very simple statement, but how powerful those words. From him comes my salvation. In verse 2, he only, and here's the exclusivity of the one true living triune God, he only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. If you run out after all the other gods of the world, you will be shaken because they're not gods. They're the fabrication of man. But the Lord declares he only is our rock and our salvation, our fortress. What beautiful, powerful words as we live in a turbulent world. And that's stated twice, by the way, in this psalm. And then in verse 7, we see these words, "On God rests," there it is, that word rest, "on God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God." What a confession. And what a confession that you and I not only can live in our own lives as God's people, but express it and share with others where this rest really comes from. And David uses a very unique Hebrew word for rest. In fact, literally, it means silent or silence. And so it takes on the meaning of it's an invitation by God to stand in the presence of the Almighty God and not say anything. That's hard for us to do, isn't it? In a loud and boisterous world in which we live today, but to be in the presence of God and not say anything and not bring anything. Just be there with God in silence and receive. To receive the peace that God, the rock of our salvation, alone can give us in all circumstances. And I shared, as Mr. Whitney asked, being afraid of water. I used to love to be in the water. I went off a high board at our pool, went all the way to the bottom, and then went into a panic attack, and I thought I was going to drown that day. And ever since that day, that fear has stayed with me, but it really shouldn't, because God was there underwater, and he delivered me from that. Well, up to this point, David has declared his soul waits in silence on God alone. And then he reveals to us what's going on. In verses 3 and 4 of our text, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall or a tottering fence? May indicate that David was a little bit older at the time when he wrote this psalm. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. David was in a mess as king. And yet, in the midst of all that turbulence, God provided to David rest. And it's the same rest that you and I are blessed to have today. Nothing's changed in the face of our own enemies. And if you were listening to the epistle reading today, putting on the full armor of God, hearing about that evil foe Satan as he is described within that text, powerful words, he is the greatest enemy that you and I have to deal with. And certainly Satan challenges us to doubt God's forgiveness for us. He tries to manipulate our thought process into thinking we're never good enough for God, that we must do something in order to gain God's favor, and that's just going to lead down a road of despair. But God protects us from the evil foe. We are in a spiritual battle with a mighty foe. But we, with David, can confess ever so boldly, verses 1 and 2 of this psalm, "For God alone my soul waits in silence, from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." What a comfort to hang on to those words, to hang on to that truth that is absolute, that will never change or fail you or me. It's God's promise to his church, to each one of us individually. And so we live empowered by the promises God gives. And we then can truly trust in him in all circumstances. Verse 8 of the psalm. There's the conclusion of this section. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him." God is a refuge for us. Isn't that wonderful? God Almighty, creator of all things, God is huge. He is timeless from everlasting to everlasting. And yet, look at these words. Pour out your heart before him. God is always readily available to each one of us individually, fully aware of what you and I are going through and dealing with in our lives. And God rescues us. Maybe it's not from a lion's den. I hope we're never in that kind of circumstance. But we all have our own circumstances. And the Lord rescues us. You know, as we have followed Hurricane Harvey and now Hurricane Florence, there's always those great stories of rescue. And I think we even have a picture this morning. I mean, you see it all over the news of people being carried out of situations where they may have drowned otherwise. Well, what an image of what God does for you and me every day. He is our rescuer, and from the floodwaters of our fallenness and sin and our failure of God, the Lord rescues us. And the cross, so prominent in our sanctuary, is such a visual reminder to us of Jesus coming and rescuing us through his death and resurrection. And so it's in Jesus that we stand before the Father with our soul silent to receive abundantly the salvation and the life that he provides. And so the theme, what a wonderful theme for the LWML, the rest we share. And underline that word share. The LWML is all about sharing. What a wonderful mission arm we are blessed to have in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And for 76 years, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League has been sharing the good news of God's rest, of His rescue, of His salvation that He has won for us. They are women in mission. And what an incredible journey these women have been on throughout the years. They are women of encouragement. And the LWML is all about encouragement, encouraging women and men in their faith walk to find true rest in God alone. And one of the ways that the LWML does that is through their financial support of mission projects. And look at that number. Since 1942, $100 million have been collected from 43 different countries in order to support the great mission projects that the LWML are a part of, not only in this nation, but throughout the world. And so the way that they collect most of that money is through what's called a mite box. And it's just a little box. And the idea years ago was, if you have loose change, you know, where do you put the loose change? It's kind of an annoyance a lot of times. Well, hey, let's put it to good use. And so these boxes were developed. You just put all the loose change in the boxes at the local LWML gatherings, monthly generally. Those boxes are brought in, all the change is dumped into a container and collected. And throughout the world, all of that being collected turns into this kind of tremendous work opportunity. And a little later in our service, we're going to have the LWML ladies stand and pay attention to them. And after worship, they're available if you have questions, and they can tell you about the details of what the LWML mission money support currently. And it's really exciting. And again, the opportunity for you to be a part of that, if you so desire, as you leave this morning, again, we'll have LWML ladies standing at the doors for a door offering that will contribute to this ongoing great work within the LWML. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, may we then live in this rest that God provides for us. But may we also then, as the LWML strives to do, share it with others. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us rest and who blesses us with the great opportunity and honor to share it with others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And at this time, I would invite the congregation to stand, if you are able, as we make confession of our Christian faith in the words of this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed.